Coming up on this episode of the Wampa Slayer Podcast, Carl and Jason explore some of the Star Wars rituals and habits that we do in our daily lives. Later, they take a look at some of the high points thus far of StarWars.com's This Is Madness character tournament. It's a laid-back conversation, so sit back, relax, and watch out for Wampas. Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClair and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to another exciting episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. This is episode number 123, Hokey Rituals and Ancient Habits. I am, as always, one of your hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me we have the Admiral Yularen to my Chancellor Valorum. We have Carl LeClair.
So we're British.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we are.
I call for a vote of no confidence in my co-host every time he proclaims that the PT is better than The Empire Strikes Back.
I never claimed that it was better. I claimed I liked it better.
That's true. I'm already making inaccurate statements. That'll get your troops killed, Admiral Yularen.
But, of course, you know, that's what politics does, is they make inaccurate statements. We are not jaded against politics at all. Anyway, anyways, that's we're not here to talk about politics, though. We're here to talk about Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. We sure are. Oh, man. So tonight we're going to be talking about some of the things we've done, both as kids or even still now as adults, that we've done to kind of like ritualize Star Wars, things that we do kind of like either as habits or just things that we have done to kind of, with our own fandom in Star Wars, and things we've done to kind of ritualize that fandom. And I'm sure you all have numerous things as well, so hopefully this will get you thinking tonight. But before we get to any of that, Jason, we had a very peculiar matchup given to us by Scott Rifen, who was on our last episode last week.
Yes.
And do you care to kind of let us know what that's all about?
Yes, this matchup pits Jackson, the giant green rabbit from the early Marvel comics, versus Zam Wessel, who has shapeshifted into Jackson. And that was the matchup that we've been given. And we got quite a few responses on this. And some very interesting ones. So without further ado, I am going to jump into that. Andrew Hansen on Facebook says, Jackson, with one easy saber dart shot, Zam is pretty inexperienced as a bounty hunter. Adam Hackworth, Jackson, Zam realized the horror of being a giant green monstrosity and commits suicide. Jackson wins. Joey Letson, this fight actually happened! Zam killed Jackson and then dumped his body in the void where it was later discovered by Meeber Gascon in the Clone Wars. Michael Cohen says, Jackson all the way, he's just too awesome to lose. Christopher Sagnetta, Pliff, who is a different Marvel Star Wars character, with a psionic blast to their heads, who jibs are Bamfers, is what he says. Jeffrey Beaumont, while Jackson and Zam Wessel are fighting, a strange man in robes appears, removes a pin, counts to three, no more, no less, and throws the holy hand grenade of Antioch, which causes both fighters to die, and the Ewoks rejoiced while dining on a rabbit. Neither win. Eric Marshall says Wessel. 50 Shades of Lightsaber says Jackson by a hair, but bum. Paul Gann says Zam. Randy Giles, I'm going to go with Zam on this. Zam would not only utilize the speed and agility that comes with Jackson's form, she would undoubtedly do her homework on him since she did learn from Jango Fett. She would know that he is easy to anger. Not many people think clearly while angry, and he would undoubtedly slip up. Plus, let's be honest here, she's a bounty hunter who says she will play by the rules. Jeff Langrud. I'm sorry, that was an interesting last name that I didn't expect. Anyways, Jackson, simply because Zam seems to fail at everything. I hit the ship, but they used a decoy. And she not only failed to kill Padme, she got herself killed. James Bryson Grigger says, assuming the shapeshifter can assume all the skill, they would be unable to best each other. I would be forced to stand them side by side and hold up a carrot. The one who does not get offended, I will conclude as Zam and shoot her myself. On on Twitter, at KingOg9Cubits says, I'm going to go with the original mean green space bunny. A vote for Jackson. Hashtag Marvel. Hashtag Star Wars. At Dave Pisani 75 says, Zam all the way. Jackson sucks. And and at Jedi RG, the real Jackson would mop up Zam. Jackson. Jackson knows how to move as a giant green space rabbit. And we got two emails. Our buddy Jackson emailed us in about Jackson and says, while Jackson and Jackson, a.k.a. Zam Wessel, are fighting, Usagi Yojimbo comes in and cuts both of them in half with his sword. And I looked that up, and that is a Japanese cartoon character, comics character, who is a giant rabbit samurai. So there you have it. And our final Larian response was Lenny Klein, who says, when Jackson and Zam Wessel Jackson touch in the universe, when Jackson and Zam Wessel Jackson come in touch, the universe, unable to handle two characters looking like Jackson, spontaneously combusts, obliterating everything. And so we have a final Larian tally of 8 for Jackson, 5 for the Zam Wessel Jackson, and 4 for neither of them. And you are abstaining from this matchup, correct, Carl?
I am. This is a Larian first. I don't know anything about Jackson. I didn't have time to look him up or do any looking into who the character is, other than kind of what Scott told us on the episode last week and kind of just some of the little things I picked up from what, you know, the Larians wrote in. But I am in no way informed enough to have a educated opinion on this. So as a humble man, I shall bow out. So, because I don't know. I mean, I would simply be saying a name that has no reasoning. So I don't count tonight.
All right. Well, I am vaguely familiar with Jackson. I did read a Marvel Comics omnibus back in the day that had some stories with Jackson in it. And knowing that he is a hot-headed, sharp-shooting smuggler, I'm going to go with Jackson. Simply because I think that's awesome. and honestly, he would just be too offended to lose. So he would get too offended that Zam impersonated him because he's the one and only. So why would you do that? And he would beat Zam at her own game or something. They'd win. Anyways, but that gives us a final tally of 9 for Jackson, 5 for Zam Wessel as Jackson, and 4 for neither. Which I think is the most we've ever had for neither of them. But yeah, so that was kind of interesting, and I'm glad we got a whole bunch of responses for that. Stick around to the end of the show, because we got another poll for you. So this should be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, when we invited Scott to give us a matchup last week, I honestly didn't think he'd have one for the end, because he seemed kind of befuddled. I should start telling our guests beforehand, like before they actually show up the night of, that we're going to ask that of them. Because he was kind of like, I'll try to think of something. And I was like, all right, he probably won't. So we obviously had one in our back pocket. Then when he was so excited about it, I was like, oh, I bet you this will be good. And then he said it, and I was like, who the hell is that? And I was like, no, I don't know. Or excuse me, I was like, no.
No, constipated. Anyways, that's a throwback to our last episode. You better listen to it, folks, because it's funny.
It is. Scott was great. Anyway, tonight we're going to just talk a little bit about some of our own little rituals surrounding Star Wars. You know, Jason, it's It's funny because, like, you can't be a big Star Wars fan and not have some sort of ritual around that fandom, I think. Because it's not like your everyday fandom. When it comes to movies, maybe, I don't know. To me, sports fans often have rituals for when they're about to watch their favorite team or something, mm-hmm. right? Like, they sit on the couch a certain way. You know, you've seen those, like, Bud Light commercials or whatever, where it's, you know, it's all about these superstitions and rituals about, you know, how to get your team to win or whatever. But I think with something like Star Wars, that's been such a huge part of our lives for most of our lives, there's little things that we do that kind of have become little rituals around these films. So
Little habits, just things we do because we love the film so much, and we like to incorporate that into our everyday lives. You know, whether or not we do it every single day or just every time we encounter the specific situation or things like that. And of course, some of them we've outgrown because they were things that we did as kids. Which we'll probably get to a couple of those. But yeah, no, I think
like
everybody...
I don't take baths anymore and pretend I'm swimming to Otto Gungan. I mean, not at all. You're so weird.
See, I never did that in the bathtub. I always did that at the pool.
No, I didn't.
You could dive down and it was better.
No, the only thing I did in the shower was pretend I was being frozen in carbonite, and I still do it. And I told Jason, I think I sent you the picture for Christmas this year. A family at the church I work at gave me a Hanan carbonite shower curtain. So
nice.
It's amazing.
I do remember that.
Yeah, it's amazing. So, like, especially now when I'm in the shower, I'm like, no. People can't see what I'm doing. I'm just freezing myself like Han Solo. It's not that exciting,
yes.
But
yes, he froze halfway through his no. Yeah. It was beautiful. So
very poetic. who's kicking this off tonight, Jason?
I think you've got a couple more written down, so why don't you kick it off? Right. And I'm probably going to have extras to add as we go. But
okay.
Why don't you kick it off?
So I think I've mentioned this before, and this is something I did as a kid because I don't really play with the toys anymore. But I think I might have even said it last episode, but every time I would play with my Star Wars toys, I would put on a piece of Star Wars music first. I had to do that. I could not play Star Wars and not have music playing as well. And the same was true if, Jason, I don't think you ever played the customizable card game, right?
No.
Okay.
I collected some of the cards, but I never played the game.
Okay. So I only ever played the game with my cousin, but whenever we played, I'd always be like, hold on, you got to put on Star Wars music first. quick little side note. I'm trying to relearn the customizable card game because I found an online server where you can play it online.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm trying to get like Joe Hogan wants to learn to play. I'm going to try to convince you to play because it's all free. The rules are really complicated and I never really played the right way. So I'm trying to like learn the right way because you can't play wrongly on something that's like automated.
Right.
Yeah. So anyways, quick little side note. Hey, if you're a Larry and you know how to play the game in a simple way or know a simple link to explain it, send it along.
Yes.
But anyway, yeah. So whenever I would pull out my toys, I would put on Star Wars music. And whenever I was playing Star Wars, I had to have the sound of the movies going as well, right? It really, because it enhanced the narrative that I was telling with my toys. It made it that much more like I was creating Star Wars. And even when I did that, so I would put on the music. The most common soundtrack I probably listened to when I was a kid, actually, it was probably a tie between Empire and Jedi. This is before like the prequels came out. By the time the prequels came out, especially like Episode 1, I was still kind of playing with my toys, but by Episode 2, I literally like didn't play with them at all anymore. I mean, I still bought them, but I never really played with them. But so I would I'd put on the music and I was like, okay, it's time. And then then I would pull out from under my bed. I would pull out my carrier case of Star Wars toys,
nice.
Which for a while I had, Jason, you remember the C-3PO? They had these mm-hmm. back in the vintage collection, but also they did it with the Power of the Force line in 95, but I had the C-3PO that like talked, you know, when you press the button.
Yes. Yeah.
Eventually
they had Darth Vader too, right?
Did they have, I don't know if they had a Darth Vader for the new Power of the Force line. I know they did back in the 70s and 80s.
Okay.
I don't know if they did or not. Probably one of our Larians right now saying they did or no, they didn't.
but I do remember the C-3PO one because I wanted to get it and I never did. So,
yeah.
Because it talked to you.
It was really awesome. Cool. So I got to the point where I was putting like two or three figures in each slot because I had to like stuff them in. I couldn't close it anymore, so I would lay a blanket over it to slide under my bed so they wouldn't get dusty. But eventually, when that was still like it was just over full, that's when I started putting them in like a big plastic bin. Mm-hmm. And I would pull that bin out, and as the music was playing, that's when I would start to pick out the characters that I wanted to play with that day. Nice. So it was like this ritualized, like, okay, this is the story I want to tell today. And as I was picking them out, the story kind of started to write itself in my head of like, okay, yeah, so I'm going to use Ponda Baba today. So this will probably be on Tatooine. So I can put aside my Hoth gear toys. but right. So like, it was just like this methodical process before I actually started to play.
Nice.
So
that's kind of cool. I didn't do that with my toys. I know English. I know occasionally I would I'd have Star Wars music playing while I played with the toys. But what was essential though was I had to be listening to the soundtrack reading Star Wars books.
Mm-hmm.
That was essential. As soon as I started, you know, owning soundtracks, and especially after I got my first iPod, I had to be playing the Star Wars soundtracks while I was reading books. And of course, now I have an entire Star Wars playlist, and I do this with Doctor Who and the Middle Earth, you know, soundtracks and stuff. Like, I've got an entire playlist just with those things for when I read, or, you know, if I just want to listen to, you know, whatever, while I'm doing stuff. But yeah, so that was one of my, you know, my must haves. Whenever I read a Star Wars book. And of course, one of the other things that happened with me with books is happening with me with books is, I'm starting to collect books now.
Mm.
It's mostly Doctor Who at this point, but, I go to some of the used bookstores and I'm finding great deals on some of the, you know, the Star Wars paperback books.
Mm.
And I'm starting, some people probably saw this. I've started my X-Wing series collection. And I've got, I think it's book 1, 4, and 6 were the ones at the local book, the used bookstore that I picked up. And so I'm like, I'm going to just take all of them. but yes, I'm starting to build up my library. And I love books in general, but that's neither here nor there. So, but I need another bookshelf. I need room to put another bookshelf in because this is going to get very full very fast. I've still got some room on my bookshelf, and I'm looking at it right now, but I can squeeze in a couple more things and move things around, but it's going to happen where I'm going to need a second bookshelf.
So you'll need one just to accommodate your Star Wars collection.
Oh my gosh. Yes, that's the other thing, because I don't have a place to really display my collection. Although after the semester there's a shelf that's got a bunch of my school books on it that I will be selling back, because you know, no one ever keeps their school books. I say no one, but then everybody's like, no, I always kept this one, you know. I'm actually keeping one or two of them, but there's a shelf that my school stuff is sitting on that will not have anything on it after the semester. So I'm like, what am I gonna do with that? Books or action figures? Or probably action figures at this point. And I can rotate them. I think I've just said like three of my things right now.
Jason's just a train of thought right now.
Yeah.
He's just thinking through his plans on the show.
Yeah.
Here's what I'm thinking of doing internally. Here's for everyone to know.
Yes. Yes. But yeah, no, that's there's like one or two things.
Just put install like a rotating shelf on your bookshelf that like you have books on one side and then action figures, and you just press an automatic button and it just changes every like few hours.
Oh man, I wish I could do that. That would be so awesome.
And as it rotates, it plays Star Wars music.
Or the Doctor Who theme, depending on what I'm trying to get.
Yes.
And Carl's like, Doctor Who.
Keep him out of here.
I don't care. But anyway, yeah. So there's something.
So there's something.
There's something. One or two things on my list already.
I'll follow up too, because I was and am the same way when it comes to reading Star Wars literature. Is I need to be listening to Star Wars music as well. Again, I think this is Star Wars music is so fundamental to your love of Star Wars. The John Williams soundtracks just make you feel like whatever you're doing is in Star Wars. And I always remember when I first, so I think the first, Star Wars novels I read, actually, I don't think it was Timothy Zahn's series. I want to say it was the Jedi Academy trilogy. I'm almost positive, which for the longest time was my favorite trilogy of Star Wars novels. But when I finally picked up a copy of Heir to the Empire, mm-hmm. the used bookstore, I would always like on the way home, because it was a short car ride, I refused to start the book in the car because I knew I'd only be able to get a few pages in. But that's when I would like read every single review because a lot of times, you know, the first three or four pages is just all these different reviews of the book.
Right.
And I'll never forget because one of the reviews said, mm-hmm. this book will make you hear John Williams' soundtrack in the background. This is Star Wars. And I'll never – and that's not it verbatim, but it was something along that line about how it would evoke, you know, the music of Star Wars.
Right.
And I want to say that that was the first time where I was like, ooh – that's a good idea. I should be listening to Star Wars music. And up to that point, I didn't have anything Star Wars music wise. Mm-hmm. But my cousin had a bunch of the CDs. So I made him burn me copies of them. And that way I had those. And then when they started coming out with like the booklet stuff, I actually purposely, I don't know if you remember these, Jason, like they had these, like music club things where you could like, when you signed up, you know, you would get 13 CDs for like $5. But then you had to pay like an annual fee of like $70 or something like that. But then you could get like 5 more CDs for like $1.50 each. So I signed up for a plan just to get the Star Wars double CDs because it's still even with the plan, like I could get other music, Star Wars music and save a ton of money.
Right.
And I joined one of those groups for a year just to get the trilogies. and that's when they came out with the 2-disc special edition versions. Which looked great. But so when I got the Empire and Jedi ones, because I ordered those first, this is a little side tangent, sorry. but I just remember how it was actually like the little cardboard thing that the book slid into, you know, like that real classy look. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I
still have them somewhere boxed up. They're not at my apartment, but it was like a little cardboard sleeve, and then you slid in. It was like an actual book, and I at both ends of the book were the two CDs. Mm-hmm. But when they sent me the A New Hope soundtrack, it was in a normal CD case. And I was so annoyed because I was like, no, I want this in the booklet because it doesn't look good with my collection on the shelf. So I sent it back to my music company and said – or no, I didn't even send it back. I wrote them a letter saying I didn't want this version. I wanted the one with the booklet. If I send this back, will you send me another? And – a week later, I didn't get a written response at all. They just sent me another copy of the same thing. So I just gave, like, I got two of A New Hope soundtracks for the price of one. But it still wasn't right. So I gave the extra one to my cousin and I just said, oh, to heck with it. But to this day, that always bothered me that I don't have that one's booklet. but yes, back to the point. Yeah, like when I read Star Wars, I had to be listening to the music. And I still do that now, especially now that I'm really into these comics and stuff. Like when I sit down at night to read a Star Wars comic, if I'm reading a comic, you know, in general, I sometimes listen to music, sometimes I don't. But when I'm reading a Star Wars comic, I have to be listening to Star Wars music. It adds to the feeling of it.
It's funny because I think that review of Heir to the Empire was the first time I thought of, you know, listening to Star Wars music while reading the books, too. So that's kind of funny that you mentioned that you brought that up. That's kind of awesome. But yeah, it was one of those things where I just started like checking out Star Wars books at the library. I'd done a lot of the young reader stuff, but when I first started branching into the novels, I just started picking random stuff because I didn't know there was like an order to it. And I think the first one I read was like book 8 of the New Jedi Order series, and I was so confused. When I read Heir to the Empire, it was like, you can hear the John Williams score as you in your head as you read this book, and I was like, that's a great idea. And so I went home and I read it with the music, and I was like, that's awesome. So I was so happy. And now it's been a, you know, requirement ever since. But yes. So.
Yeah.
I think one of the little things that I do that I started when I was, you know, younger, but I still do to this day, and it's now habitual. I don't think about it, but I do it every time, is whenever I go through an automatic door, I do the Jedi hand wave, you know.
Yep. Yep.
It. I don't think about it anymore. I just do it. I walk into Target or Walmart or whatever, and I just, you know, and it's like, sometimes I'll catch myself mid, you know, mid wave, and I'm like, I'm doing the Jedi thing. You know? But like, sometimes I'll do it without even thinking about it. And sometimes when I'm actually trying to do it, I'll like, you know, be very precise or whatever. And I'll try and time it so that it opens the doors exactly when I wave my hand, you know, that sort of thing. So I'm like, yes. But every automatic door I go through, I have to do that. So it's habitual now.
Yeah. Yep.
It's not just a ritual, it's a habit.
Right. I can guarantee you at least 70% of the people listening to our show right now do the same thing. I do the same thing too. I'm glad you brought that up. I wouldn't even have thought of that. But yeah, because it is. It's so habitual. Anytime I go into something with an automatic door, I do this. when I was a teacher sometimes, I would mess with the kids and I'd be like, you want to do your homework. I'd be like, Mr. LeClaire, we don't believe in the Force. Like, whatever.
Stop it. Do your homework.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, that's a great one.
Yeah. What's another one that you had?
So, one thing again from when I was a kid was if I ever wanted a new action figure, if there was something next I wanted, I would habitually pretend to be that character until I got the figure. So, and I can vividly remember this with the Luke and Stormtrooper disguise. Mm-hmm. And this came out, I want to say that came out in 97. And I really wanted that one because one of the very first Star Wars action figure I ever got was the mail away Han and Stormtrooper costume from the back of the cereal boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still one of my favorite action figures to this day. But when they finally released the Luke one, I was like, oh my gosh, I have to get this. Like, it'll complete that set. It'll be so great. I can have Han and Luke running around disguised as Stormtroopers together. You know, and it had to be the removable helmet because I remember when I was telling my mom how I had to have it. She's like, well, can't you just use one of the other Stormtroopers and pretend Luke's in it? I was like, no, Mom, because he's really not in there. Like, she's like, you're 12, grow up. I specifically remember the Luke Stormtrooper. So whenever I was playing big Star Wars, again, which meant like we were playing as ourselves, not with action figures.
Right.
For that entire, there was like probably a 2-week period where I was saving the money to get it. Where every time I played Star Wars, my cousin would be like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm Luke Stormtrooper. And he's like, why? And I was like, I have to be him. Okay. I have to. Until I have it to play with, I have to be him. So I know I did that with a few others as well. Nothing else vividly comes to mind, but that was for some reason I thought if I pretended to be it for long enough, I could, my focus would determine my reality.
There you go, Qui-Gon Jinn.
I know. But yeah, and sometimes too, I would try to draw the figure I wanted, but I really sucked at drawing. So that's why I was like, I'm just going to pretend to be them when I get home. but that was just something like I just thought in my head, like if I pretend for long enough, I'll be able to have it.
Nice. One of the things I used to do as a kid, and this is almost a daily thing, not quite daily usually because it depends on the weather, but I'd go out in the backyard with this yellow wiffle ball bat and I'd play lightsabers. And I got so serious with it at one point that I would take my Clone Wars comic books that I had had, because I got a couple of them. I wasn't like a huge collector of them, but I got a couple of them. And I would take those out there and I'd go through the books to see what moves the Jedi did. And I would imitate it. I'd do it, you know, I'd actually do the move as if it was being done in real life rather than just, you know, drawn on the page. But I'd do that. And then I memorized some of the choreographed scenes from the movies, and I'd perform that out there too. And it was such a, you know, I had to do this, and it was awesome. And, you know, but it was, you know, and I had to use the yellow wiffle ball bat because while I had lightsabers, that was the right size and it was the right weight and the handle wasn't like gigantic and clunky. But that was the thing I did, and I did that for years. It was one of those things, especially during, you know, spring to fall. I was out there probably at least three times a week in the backyard doing lightsaber stuff. But yeah, that was something I did for several years when I was, and
I won't say that it was like till I was 17.
When I stopped, I was like 17 when that, you know, quit becoming like a regular thing.
Yeah, I used to, I loved pretending I was a lightsaber duelist. And just to tie into that, I mean, even when I would do lightsaber dueling, I always had to have Duel of the Fates playing in the background.
Nice.
Because I think, you know, it wasn't until Phantom Menace that I really got into lightsabers. I mean, I always thought they were cool, but I mean, I think the prequels really did a great job of, you know, really utilizing the lightsaber.
Oh, yeah.
Because really, I mean, we only get Luke, Vader, and Obi-Wan in the OT.
Right.
So, yeah, it was... The Phantom Menace really changed that up for me.
I do recall a couple times taking my iPod and my little tiny portable speakers out to the backyard and playing Star Wars music on a couple of occasions while I was doing the lightsaber stuff. But then, yeah. I do remember distinctly one time because we lived in a neighborhood that had like a ditch or a wash behind it that went through the neighborhood. And, you know, kids coming home from school would use it to cut through and, you know, get to their houses without having to go through the, you know, the neighborhood and stuff. I remember one day specifically, I'm out there doing my stuff with the music and everything, and there's like three girls that walk past while I'm in the middle of it. And I'm like, oh, that's really embarrassing. And I never brought my music out after that.
I used to take my Walkman outside on our bridge and pretend I was battling through the, you know, the feed thing, reactor core.
Yes.
I mean, I would get so into it that I would go inside panting and sweating. Like, I got a cardio workout from that. Man, maybe I should start that again because I hate cardio. Maybe that would at least be a fun way to do it. I was the same way. I would put my headphones on and just go to work. So
nice.
One other thing I did as a kid, which I don't do anymore, was I literally, there got to be a point, it probably wasn't even a full year, but for a few months where I knew exactly what day Toys R Us, their truck was coming. And I would call the following morning if there was any particular Star Wars action figure I wanted. And if they had it, I would have them hold it for me. And I did that for a long period of time. Maybe it wasn't every week, but it was probably every couple weeks because I only had the money every couple weeks to buy a new figure. But it's like, oh, I want, you know, oh, Lando. And I don't know where I would get my information that things were rare. Because, like, I would call for figures and they'd be like, yeah, we've got that. And I'll be like, can you hold one? I'll be there in 2 hours. Sure. Like, they'd put it on hold and, you know, I'd get there and the first thing you do is I'd run to the service counter and be like, you're holding something for Carl? Like, you know, they pull it out. And I did love the fact that they would, whenever they pulled it out, but it did have my name taped to it because I was like, yeah, that's mine.
Nice.
And then I would say to my mom, I'd be like, can we just go look at what else is out back there? She's like, Carl, you only have the money for the one. And I was like, I know, Mom, but I just have to look. And I'd go back there and there'd be like 30 of what I had held, you know. So it's like, clearly I was okay. But
Right.
But like,
you had
again,
to know. You had to know how wise your decision was that week.
Exactly. So that was definitely a little ritual that I had was, you know, and I want to say it was Thursdays is when they got their truck. So I would call on like Friday morning. And if they had what I wanted, my mom would typically take me after school. And, nice. And I would get it. So...
Nice. Yeah, no, I didn't do that, but, and this is something I still do to this day, is every time I go to, you know, Walmart or Target or something like that, I make a trip to the toy aisle. Even if I've been there, like, earlier that week, I make a trip to the toy aisle and I see what's there and, you know, I look at things. And I haven't been buying a lot of action figures and stuff recently for a couple reasons. One, I'm not sure how much I like the 5 points of articulation figures.
I'd need to like hold them and touch them and figure that out for myself. And there isn't a lot of, you know, awesome action figures out there at the moment, distribution wise. And I'm saving up for Celebration. So I haven't been buying a lot of stuff recently, but I know buying action figures is definitely going to, have a significant, increase on my wallet, as we get closer to The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm bracing myself for it, because when those new action figures come out, my collection is going to start growing at a pretty rapid rate again. It's sort of been like pretty, you know, not stagnant, but like, you know, about the same amount for quite a while, because I haven't been doing a lot of collecting since some of the Clone Wars action figures, some of the really cool Clone Wars action figures stopped coming out. But I'll pick up one or two here or there on clearance or something like that. I picked up Rick Oldie and a Naboo pilot for like $3 each at Walmart on clearance, for the new ones, the new sculpts. So I was like, oh, that's cool. But yeah, no, now I'm like, I'm bracing myself, because this used to be a thing. Every week or every 2 weeks, I'd go get an action figure. As a kid, my allowance would, I think it was like every 2 weeks, I'd be able to get one or two if I, you know, depending on how I saved my money throughout the week, I'd be able to get some action figures back in the day, you know, especially episode 2 was when I really started collecting. I was pretty consistent at collecting during episode 1, but episode 2, I was like, I need all of them. So, especially the Jedi. But yeah, I'm bracing for the fact that I'm going to be going and hunting for action figures on a regular basis again, you know, and buying a lot of them.
Yeah. I can't wait to get old man Han Solo and old Luke. Like, that's what I'm most excited for sure.
Nice. I need to get those, Luke, especially for me. And I also need to get BB-8 and R2-D2. I need to get an episode 7 R2-D2. Even though I've got like 6 of him already. So
hey, you gotta be faithful to your man.
Yes, I do. Droid, you know.
Yes, or droid, yes.
But yes, collecting, yeah. That's, you know, it's been real slow recently, but I know it's about to kick back up.
Yeah.
So
yeah, the fall into the early winter of this coming year is going to be nuts on our wallets.
So, but that's one of the ways I used to, you know, and one of the ways I still do, you know, ritualize Star Wars is I always make a swing by the toy aisle, see what new action figures are out, or if there's new action figures every single time.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
Oh, I'm the same. Anytime I'm at Target, I have to check the toy aisle. Our Target out here sucks, though. They almost never have. Like, they've had the same. They have still just the Wave 1 Black Series. The only Rebels toys they have are, like, those huge 12-inch ones that I have no interest in.
Mm-hmm.
And I teach a guitar lesson. Not to this one kid, maybe twice a month, sometimes less, sometimes more. But the town she lives in is the only Toys R Us that's near Boston. So I always go the long way just so I can swing through Toys R Us on my way to teaching the lesson. I have one Thursday night, so I'll definitely be going Thursday night to Toys R Us.
Nice.
And I always check. But their collection's usually not that great either. But I just like to look. I just like that. But that's why I'm excited for The Force Awakens, because I miss the Star Wars aisle being really full and full of action figures. Like, when I go to Toys R Us now, it's a lot of like lunch boxes or like little gadgets and doodads, like just silly stuff that I have no interest in at all.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, it's selling because I see these things get depleted and then refreshed.
Exactly.
All
those
the time,
those are getting more refreshed than the action figures. So clearly that's what sells. Yeah,
you know, it's like obviously people are buying them, but it's not me. I like the action figures. 3 3/4 is my thing, but if I find one of the Black Series 6-inch figures that I really like, I'm gonna get it. I still need to find Luke from Return of the Jedi.
Oh, they always have it at the Toys R Us I go to.
So I've seen it a couple times in the wild, but I've never had the money to purchase it when I've seen him.
Yeah, so. Well, I see it every time I go to our Toys R Us. He's always there. So, if I had some extra money, I'd grab it for you. But
well,
it does look good.
It
does look good.
Although I will probably end up having to see if I can find one at Celebration. So
I'm sure you'll. I bet you there'll be stuff at Celebration.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
But yeah.
So, how many more things you got?
Just a couple.
Okay.
One thing I just thought this would be fun is I have. I don't know if this isn't really a ritual, but I just wanted to throw it in there. There are a few lines from Star Wars that I noticed that I use a lot just in my everyday speech. And the one I use most commonly is "Blasted Biggs, where are you?" you know, when Luke's got the TIE fighter on his tail in A New Hope during the Battle of Yavin, mm-hmm. like "Blasted Biggs, where are you?" So whenever I'm like waiting for something or waiting for someone, if I'm out somewhere or, I don't know. I just find myself saying it a lot. Like, "Blasted Biggs, where are you?" And the other one is, I don't say it as much, but I like to say, "I'm not looking for a friend. I'm looking for a Jedi Master." or, you know, and I've used that a few times, like with girls in the past when they're like, "You know, I think we'd just be better as friends. I'll be like, "Well, this obviously isn't going anywhere." So I was like, "You know, I'm not looking for a friend. I'm looking for a Jedi Master." And they're like, "What?" And I was like, "Exactly."
What are you talking about?
And then the only other one, and I haven't used it in a while, but I used to use it a ton, was "Jedi business. Go back to your drinks." Loved that line in Attack of the Clones.
It's a great line.
Yeah. Oh, and then although I didn't use it a lot, I did use a line from Attack of the Clones as my quote for senior year in the yearbook. You know, when Obi-Wan's talking to Anakin on the veranda at the beginning of Attack of the Clones, when they're guarding Padme, and he says, "Dreams pass in time." So I always finish it there. I go, "Dreams pass in time, and all that's left is waking up." So that was my quote for senior year. I don't know why. It was so weird.
That's funny.
I know.
That is funny.
So anyway, I just wanted to throw those out there. Do you ever use any Star Wars quotes?
I'm sure I use quite a few, but the one that sticks out to me that I use most frequently, and I use this sometimes when I'm either watching or reading the news or something like, you know, Jersey Shore comes across my Facebook feed or something like that, or see something stupid, and I'm like, "Sometimes I just don't understand human behavior." you know, I've used that this week at least twice already, within the past week from now. I've used it at least twice. And also, I did think of one other. When I'm moving through spaces or whatever, and I'm like, "Excuse me," you know, I use. And there's this girl in my my stage combat class, and we have to go down to the armory is down this narrow hallway where we go get our weapons and stuff for stage combat. And so usually I'll be like towards the front or the middle of the line or whatever, and I'll be trying to walk back up the hallway while people are trying to come in, you know, with my weapons to go out. And I'm like, "Excuse me," you know, because it's real narrow. And she's like, "Oh, of all the Star Wars characters, why do you have to quote Jar Jar?" You know.
And you're like, "Let me sit you down for a few minutes."
And I'm like, "I have reasons, but we don't have time for them." So
you say, "You know what? It's obvious that our love of Jar Jar cannot be decided by our knowledge of..." I got nothing. I was just trying to use your line.
I know.
"But by our knowledge, but by our skills with a wooden stick."
They're stage swords and stuff. Okay. So they're metal. But yes, okay. Now, I do use that line quite frequently this semester when we do our stage combat, because we're using rapier and dagger, which is, you know, the rapier is a fencing sword.
Right.
And so I've used, you know, "Just obvious as contest cannot be decided by knowledge of the force, but by our skills with a lightsaber." And people either laugh or roll their eyes at me. And I do it in the voice too. So.
Ew, sorry.
Why did that hit you so funny?
I don't know, because I can just see you in class, like in sweatpants and a t-shirt, like just holding this like metal sword, saying that to a crowd full of people that just don't care.
I do the salute.
Of course you do.
So But yes, I used that today again. So
you should bring a cape.
So there's a couple of lines that I've used regularly. You know, sometimes I just don't understand human behavior, especially my own.
Oh, that's great. Well, I have a few things that I still do now. Well, like I said earlier, I do still listen to Star Wars music when I'm reading Star Wars stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'll come to that at the end. That's the last thing I'm going to talk about. But all right, one other little thing is whenever we do a podcast, I wear Star Wars socks. So nice. I have 6 pairs of Star Wars socks, and I always make sure to wear ones when I am podcasting.
On the days we podcast. That's awesome.
And you know what's really sad, though?
What?
I announced that today, and today's the one day I don't have them on. I realized that as soon as like I was jotting that down at work, I'm like, I don't have Star Wars socks on. So, because the shoes I wore today are kind of like higher tops, and mine are like all the Star Wars socks I have are like ankle socks, so I needed something taller. I'm a little embarrassed, but I've literally always worn Star Wars socks when we've recorded for the last like year and a half. But
nice.
But today's the one.
Are you going to bring those to celebration?
Oh, of course.
Excellent.
But
excellent. That's another line I use. I use excellent. And sometimes everything is going as planned. You know, sometimes I use that. Anyway, sorry.
That's okay. But yeah, well, that's all I had, so.
Okay, cool. Well, I've got just one more, really, to talk about. How many do you have?
Like 2. But they're 2. Small. Okay. I'll say one of my other little small ones in real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
Which is just now whenever I go to a Star Wars movie, which has only been Revenge of the Sith and when they re-released Phantom Menace in 3D, so I'll wear Star Wars shirts, which is, again, this is nothing new to most Star Wars fans. Excuse me. And when I go to when I went to Fan Days, well, except for the first day, but Fan Days, C6, and now C7, I make sure to have Star Wars shirts for every day of the con. But again, that's pretty much everyone's ritual that's a Star Wars fan at those things.
Of course.
Just about anyway.
Of course. I do have enough Star Wars shirts that I could probably go almost 2 weeks without wearing the same Star Wars shirt twice.
Wow. I think I only have like 5 or 6.
Of course, some of these were given to me. So I got like 2 or 3 of them at Christmas. And I've gotten a couple for my birthday before. And I rotate through them. And so they're, I haven't like worn through very many of them yet. So
yeah. I remember when we went to Fan Days, I stayed in a hotel room with Chris Smith from Starlight Pit. And, I only owned like 2 Star Wars shirts at that time. So the first day I got there, I didn't have one on because he's like, "Where's your Star Wars shirt?" And I was like, "I only have 2. and he's like, "Oh man," he like pulls out his suitcase and he had like at least a dozen in there. And I was like, "You know, this is just a 2-day event, right?" And he goes, "I wanted to have some options." I was like, "Is that all of them?" He goes, "Oh, not even close." And I was like, "Oh man." And I'm sure that's true of so many other Star Wars fans. I don't have a lot. So, I think it's because like I was always so embarrassed to like broadcast my love of Star Wars in public that I never really had the desire to buy any because I would never wear them anywhere except maybe at my house. Whereas now, of course, I have no problem with it. I do have a Star Wars trucker hat that I do enjoy wearing in the summer, which I basically like. The first person I saw that even had one was Matt Kranke at Fan Days.
Yes,
so I was like, oh, I have to have one of those.
And it was literally like by the time, right after Fan Days is when we started talking about doing the podcast. And by the time we recorded our first episode, Carl had one.
That's right. Hat. Yeah. Yeah. I went home that was the first thing I think I bought when I got home from Fan Days was that Star Wars trucker hat.
So that was pretty awesome. The last thing that I'm going to put on here is that I've sort of ritualized or I do with Star Wars is I listen to podcasts. I'm a avid podcast listener at this point. Way too many podcasts than I have time for. And I've had to start cutting down on some podcasts or like not listening to other podcasts simply because I don't have the time to keep up with everything. But I have at least I've got over a dozen Star Wars podcasts, I think, on my iTunes that I will listen to. So but that's one of the things that I do. It's I think the only one I've added within that I've added recently was My Star Wars Story.
So good.
Because it is so good. And the nice thing about that one is it's not like weekly, and so I'm not like, oh my gosh, I can't keep up with this thing. So like I am with some other podcasts out there. but like, you know, Rebel Force Radio. I can't keep up with that thing at all because they're like 2-hour episodes and it's weekly. And I'm like, stop it. I swear. I'm like 70 episodes behind on that thing. And I listen to it in spurts. So, but there's other podcasts that take precedent over that one that I keep up with, ours being one of them, because I'm always like going back and I want to relive the conversations. And I'm always sort of like going, okay, did I say too many times? You know, that sort of thing.
Yeah, I don't usually listen through them completely anymore. But occasionally I will, like, throw them on when I'm in the car or something. If I just, like, have a few minutes, it's like, okay, I just want to make sure, you know, make sure the sound quality is still good and everything. And I will. I'll be like, oh, my gosh, I just said like, 6 times in 2 minutes. Or, like, oh, my gosh, I went 6 times in 30 seconds. Like, shut up, Carl. Like, I, like, get so pissed at myself when I do crap like that. Shut up.
Yeah, it's so, you know, annoying. I've caught myself doing that so many times. I'm like, yeah, and it's, yeah, and then I, you know, continue on. I'm like, what are you doing, Jason? You know?
Yeah. Yep.
You sound so unprepared. So
yeah. Well, I listened just to probably the first 10 minutes of our last episode, and I'm just like, ugh, when I'm like, and we have Scott, whose last name I don't know. And he's like, it's right there in front of you. And I'm like, ah. Anyway.
But yeah, I do listen to podcasts, and I do enjoy it because it sort of adds the whole community feel that I'm enjoying with Star Wars. So, and of course, I follow a whole bunch of Star Wars things on Facebook, so I can't go a day without seeing something about Star Wars on Facebook.
Yeah. I think the majority of my news feed every day for the past 2 years has been Star Wars.
Yeah.
Before Fan Days, I mean, very rarely did I see anything. It wasn't until like Fan Days and I started to create that community of real hardcore Star Wars friends that now my news feed is pretty much immersed in Star Wars most days. So, yeah.
And then of course having the podcast Facebook page, you know, and going, oh, we haven't posted anything in like a day and a half. We need to do something. Right. I'm like, Star Wars, something. Let's do this, you know?
Yeah.
Or I'll post a picture of my collection or my books or something. You know, hey, this is what I'm doing. You know, what are you doing? You know, that sort of thing. So, but yeah.
Yeah.
So you had one more?
Yeah, I was just going to mention the fact that I finally have my own Star Wars room. You know, and I think that's a real common thing among real hardcore Star Wars fans, and especially Star Wars podcasters, it seems to be. More and more so, at least the ones that I talk to, we really do. We like to create a space in which we feel like we are part of Star Wars. So whether that's, you know, a wall full of action figures or just posters and framed pictures all over or gentle giant statues, you know, whatever it may be. Mine is very minimalist just because I don't have a lot of money to buy a lot of things. I mean, I have three big posters, a small a Joe Hogan painting, another small painting from Fan Days, and a couple pictures of the movies in 8x10s, and then a few like gentle giant statues and a few action figures displayed. But you know, it's just there's just something about like having a room dedicated to my love of Star Wars is really great because it's a way to like you're really like actualizing that thing that you love so much.
Right.
And, you know, one of my favorite things I still have is I have one of those photo mosaic posters of Yoda. They did those were in like the mid 90s. They did one of Vader and Yoda. But it like right. Every little square is a scene from the movie.
Yes.
I love that. And I keep meaning to buy like I want to buy a little bench or excuse me, like a little stool. But it has to be a Star Wars stool so that I can because I hung the poster up high enough so it doesn't look weirdly low on the wall. But it's high enough that like the top parts of the poster I can't really see unless I'm on my extreme tiptoes. So I want to be able to see what those little scenes are.
So you need to get a stool.
I need to get a little stool so that I can do that. You can
get up there and see it.
Exactly.
Nice.
But yeah, there's just something about having that like kind of like it's like your sacred Star Wars space, where you get to put the things that you really like and that really mean a lot to you about Star Wars and put them on display. And I will say that I literally have nothing PT in my Star Wars room. Oh, wait, that's not true. I do. I have a Qui-Gon Jinn Gentle Giant. But that's it. Other than that, it's all OT stuff. But I love what I've got. And it's like, this is my collection. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm going to sort of piggyback off that, because I don't have like a Star Wars room per se. I have my bedroom, which is mainly Star Wars and Doctor Who stuff. I mean, I've got my bookshelf with, it's got a bunch of books and DVDs and that sort of thing. And I've got some of my action figures displayed on that. On my desk here, I've got my 12-inch Sideshow Collectibles Kit Fisto on one side of my laptop, and I've got the Gentle Giant Mini Bust of Kit Fisto on the other side with my 6-inch R2-D2 sitting next to that. I've also got these, I don't know if people remember these, but the they had these magnetic license plates that you could collect a while back, and I got almost the entire collection of that. I think there was 24 of them, and I have 18 or something like that. But the struts on my desk are metal, and so I've got them sitting, you know, magnetized to my desk, and so they're right there. And above my desk, right above me where I'm sitting, I've got my autographs of the Clone Wars actors that were at Fan Days. I've got Catherine Tabor. She signed a picture of the little Twi'lek Numa for me. I've got Steven Stanton, and I've got Tom Kane right above me. And then, of course, I've got art prints of Star Wars and Doctor Who all over the room and that sort of thing. And R2-D2, my 18-inch movable R2-D2 thing, he sits by my door because my door doesn't stay open. It likes to close. And he acts as the doorstop and sentry for my room. And so the first thing you see is R2 holding the door open when you walk into my bedroom. So that's awesome. But yeah, I don't have like a Star Wars room per se, but I've made my bedroom my little geek zone, so it's awesome.
Absolutely. There you go.
There we go. That's sort of how we ritualized and habitualized Star Wars, and we talked for that longer than we thought we would.
So. I know. Yeah, we always tend to do that, which is nice.
Yes. But before we start wrapping this up, we wanted to sort of talk about Star Wars. .com's This Is Madness tournament.
Yes, a.k.a. the ripoff of the Wampa's Lair podcast tournament.
I forgot we called it that.
You know what I was actually thinking? I'm going to think this aloud online or out on the air, because hopefully somebody else will, like some of our Larians will hear it and respond in some way. I think it'd be fun for us after This Is Madness is over to actually come up with our own bracket that the Larians will vote on. And we're going to do it based on our rules, which is who do you think would really win?
Oh, rather than who's your favorite?
Right, because I think that's how StarWars.com does it, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, they just sort of like put it out there, and I think some people will vote on like who they think would actually win, but most people, I think, it's just like, oh, who's my favorite? You know, because Exactly. Obviously, you know, Darth Vader and Boba Fett always managed to get through to like the final four.
Exactly. So I thought it might be fun if we came up with our own bracket of maybe just like 20 to 16 characters or something, where it's, again, it's meant to be more of like, if, you know, this is the real deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we'd probably have to keep people. Well, no. We'll talk about it more, but I think that might be fun to do.
Yes. So if somebody knows like a website or something where we could set something like that up.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
Let us know, because that would be cool.
If anybody knows,
I don't have the time to explore that.
I might, but even if somebody could just give me a starting point, that would be great. I mean, because we could easily just do. Honestly, I could just write it on a whiteboard at work, and just post the picture each week, and you know,
right.
Let people do their percentage. But it'd be so much cooler if they could, you know, go to a little link and like do it digitally. I think that might, you know, be a lot more fun. So if you know of anything where we could do that, let us know. We'd appreciate it.
That would be cool.
But anyway, you know, I don't think we need to go through each of the matchups, because anybody can just go to StarWars.com, look that up for themselves. Mm-hmm. But maybe just talk about what we've thought so far.
Yeah. Well, first of all, what do you think about the fact that Luke Skywalker was on the play-in bracket and didn't make it.
I thought that was nuts. Because he lost to Ahsoka, right?
Right.
Which is ridiculous. Right. I'm sorry. I don't know why people like her so much. I don't dislike her at all, but how can you prefer her to Luke Skywalker?
Well, the thing is that bracket went live literally a couple of days after, right, after the Rebels season finale.
Yeah.
So she had a bit of a bump there from that. But it was really interesting because they were neck and neck for most of it.
Right.
From what I heard. I didn't watch it. But yeah.
Well, I will say, since we've been recording, it is over. She did lose to Obi-Wan.
Yes.
Which I'm very happy about.
It was
60-40.
60-40, that's right. Yeah. Which, you know, a little closer than I thought it would be.
Right. I'm surprised she got that much against Obi-Wan. I mean, I'm still shocked she beat Luke. and again, this is not because I don't like Ahsoka. I think she's a great character. She's by far one of my favorite characters in the Clone Wars. But to me, she doesn't even come close to matching up with any of the film characters. Like the film character Jedi, anyway.
Of course, today's matchups now, as of recording, they've just switched over, and it's Chewbacca versus Zeb and Darth Vader versus Count Dooku. And I'm so, so sad because Count Dooku has to go up against Darth Vader in the first round, and he's not going to get past it.
Yeah, that'll be tough.
He's not. I mean, it's just not going to happen. You can't beat Vader in the first round. It's nearly impossible. It's more impossible than Boba Fett losing in the first round.
Right. Right. Well, yeah, I just did my vote, and Vader's up 85-15 already, and Chewie's up 81-19 over Zeb.
Yeah. But this is literally like...
they just posted it less than an hour ago.
Yeah, less than an hour ago. So the votes could swing dramatically depending on how many people have already voted.
Exactly.
Jeez.
But I think, you know, the thing I want to mention quick, and I think you... I'm just shocked that Darth Maul beat Emperor Palpatine in the first round.
That was weird.
That was really weird.
It was so weird because, I mean, I thought, oh, Palpatine will win. It'll be close, but Palpatine will win.
And it was close. It was 51-49. But right. I'm still shocked that that went to Darth Maul.
Right. Yeah, I was like, whoa, because that'll set up Darth Maul versus Darth Vader in the second round, and I'm really interested to see what'll happen there.
Right.
Of course, you know, Boba Fett went on to the second round. He beat out Asajj Ventress, although it was 66-34%, which is the closest first round matchup Boba Fett has ever had.
Yeah.
Not to say it was close or anything, but he's normally, you know, his opponent normally has single digits.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The closest was the Emperor and Darth Maul. But the next closest, I think, was in the first round, Pre Vizsla and Hondo, 56-44.
Yeah.
I know you were really upset that Hondo didn't win.
Oh, so upset. So upset that Hondo didn't make it past Pre Vizsla. Previous was cool and all, but Hondo's better. Hondo's way, 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 way better. I don't understand why that happened the way it did.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say I actually voted for Previsla, and I admitted to Jason, I was like, you know what? It's probably just because I love the Mandalorian armor. Because I love Hondo. Hondo's awesome.
So. Right. But Previsla's got the Mandalorian armor, and everybody likes the Mandalorians. And yeah. I'm like, Jedi robes are cooler.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the biggest blowout so far in the first round, and this has happened almost every year, is Han versus Lando. Han won 86-14 again. Like, Han always blows away Lando.
Ugh. It was, I mean, yeah. I think he went up against Chewie one year, and that was close-ish.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, like, that close.
Right.
There's a couple of other blowouts that happened. Tarkin blew out Admiral Piet.
Oh, that pissed me off. Love Piet. Shut up. Tarkin's got nothing on Piet.
And Jango Fett blew out Greedo.
Right. Which is
83-17.
Yeah.
Which is appropriate.
Yeah.
So
I'm definitely voting for Bib Fortuna over Jabba, though.
I think I want to vote for Bib Fortuna just because I'm tired of Jabba winning, and why not?
I'd love to see Bib Fortuna make it the final four. That'd make me so happy.
Say what?
I want Bib Fortuna in the final four at least. Love Bib Fortuna.
Oh man. So we've got a couple of second round matchups already, you know, lined up. R2 is going to go up against Princess Leia, mm-hmm. which we had that before, and R2 won. So mm-hmm. we will see what happens there. Obi-Wan is going up against Yoda,
which
is nice that we're having this earlier on in the matchup.
Right, because I think that was the final matchup of the light side last year,
mm-hmm.
and Obi-Wan obviously won.
Yes.
He went on to, who did he beat? Did he beat Vader or the Emperor?
No, it was Vader.
It was Vader.
Vader's okay. made it to the final round both years.
Yeah. Okay.
And then on the dark side, Tarkin is going up against General Grievous. I think Tarkin's going to take that one. I know I'm voting for Tarkin.
Yeah, I'm not a Grievous fan. I was bummed that the Inquisitor lost to him. So.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to bet. Actually, I could in one of our Larian matchups. Actually, no, I'll save my thoughts because we should probably do that at some point. I think the Inquisitor's. Oh, I just love him. He's great. There are some things more terrifying than death.
And then he dies.
And then he dies. Yeah.
But the only other dark side matchup that we have, you know, for the second round completed is Boba Fett versus Jango Fett, and we know how that's going to end.
Right.
Jango Fett's going to win. No.
Yeah, I doubt it. But
yeah, no.
But we've had that a lot too, Boba versus Jango.
So. I think that's been like a first round 2 years in a row. And so this is the first time that they put Jango and Boba not against each other in the first round. So
right. So anywho, there's the This Is Madness tournament.
Yes, I'm excited. I like this stuff. And I know some people get irritated with it sometimes because of how it's, you know, how the voting goes and that sort of thing. But I've always had fun with it. And I think I missed one of the voting days, but I haven't missed, you know, but it's only once that I missed. So,
yeah.
And I don't remember which. I think that was Leia and Hera, maybe, that I missed.
I missed Han and Lando.
No, it wasn't.
I missed one of the play-in days. I don't remember who it was. That's the only one I missed.
I got the play-ins. I missed Captain Rex and Gregor, which, of course, Rex won. And it was the pre-Vizsla Hondo that same day.
Okay.
And I missed that. No. That was Grievous and the Inquisitor. Jason's
thinking out loud again, everyone.
It was. I am. It was pre-Vizsla and Hondo, and I missed voting that day, and I was so bummed because I was like, no, I need to vote Team Hondo, and I didn't. It was sad.
Jason. Oh, okay.
Huh?
Are we done with This Is Madness?
Yes.
All right. So I had a thought that I wanted to share quick.
I need to close out This Is Madness, otherwise I'll keep getting distracted by it.
Yeah, I did a few minutes ago because I will as well. So I told Jason that I thought of something today while I was watching Return of the Jedi, and I just wanted to share it since we were recording tonight. So this is just a random thought of mine while watching a Star Wars movie. but when I was watching Jedi today, I always loved the way Luke just kind of strolls into Jabba's palace. Mm. And it struck me today that even though we only see him subdue the two Gamorrean guards, you can assume that, you know, this is Jabba the Hutt's palace. Not, you know, your average person isn't just going to stroll in uncontested, right?
Right.
So it just kind of hit me, the fact that Luke being able to even just stroll in there and even like go one-on-one with Bib Fortuna tells us that Luke is a very powerful Jedi when this movie opens. I mean, it is drastically different than where he was at in Empire.
Oh yeah.
Even though, I mean, he makes leaps and bounds of a difference in Empire, he's made leaps and bounds again between Empire and Jedi. You know, it just struck me of like, first off, how does he even get into the door? Does he use the Force to lift it? Because I kind of doubt they'd let him in. You know what I mean? Like, why would they? Right?
It's, right.
You know, if Bib Fortuna has the order not to admit him, I would assume that, you know, all the guards and sentry duty are probably told, hey, if this Luke Skywalker character shows up, he's not allowed. Right.
Right.
The fact that he just shows up like that and comes in, you know, clearly. Like, his Force abilities are great. And then when he starts, you know, after he's tricking Bib Fortuna and Jabba tosses Bib Fortuna aside and Luke says, you will bring Captain Solo and his friends to me. There is like this, like, if you watch closely, Jabba's eyes kind of start to squint a little bit, almost as if Luke's breaking through. And then he goes, Like, there is this delay. And nice. My interpretation of that delay is that Luke almost breaks through. And if you've watched the Clone Wars or if you know Star Wars lore in general, Hutts are very hard to force trick. Just like, you know, like a Tordarian.
I'm a Tordarian. Mind tricks don't work on me. Only money. No money, no parts, no deal. And no one else has a T-14 hyperdrive, I promise you that.
Uten an loya.
I jubilant aya.
Cha-cha.
I'm looking for parts for a J-Type 327 Nubian.
Ah, yes, Nubian. Sorry.
We have lots of that. Pirake, parigeto.
My droid has a readout of what I need.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, moving on.
Sorry.
We always
see Phantom Menace. That's not what we're talking about at all.
Yeah. So anyway, I encourage you, next time you watch Jedi, watch as Luke like intensely like tries the mind trick on Jabba, and it almost works. That's what I sincerely, like, I think it almost works.
Nice.
And I just like, it just kind of blew me away that at the beginning of Return of the Jedi, Luke is super powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And while like I do have like a little bit of issues with the way he fights during the Sarlacc pit battle, like again, I don't like the fact that the lightsaber is more of a club than, you know, when he's hitting people, they should be getting limbs severed. I think cinematically the reason they didn't do that is because back then these were very much for children and you didn't want that sort of thing happening. And I think with the prequels, it always happens very quickly. And we live in a culture with far more violent movies now than in the 80s, the early 80s. Not to say that that's an excuse, but be that as it may, you know, but still, like, we can assume that Jabba's, like, henchmen know their way around a fight. They know how to fight. They know their way around a blaster. And the way that Luke just, like, dismantles it. Again, I think the beginning of that movie is really supposed to tell us just, like, dude, don't mess with Luke Skywalker.
Right.
You know, and even when he drops into the Rancor pit, nobody survives that, and Luke kills the Rancor.
Right.
I mean, it's literally David versus Goliath. And... yeah. You know, it just kind of like the Jabba stuff's usually not my favorite part of Return of the Jedi, but I for some reason it just grabbed my attention this morning. I was just like, whoa, like, dude, look at Luke. Like, he just strolls into probably one of the most secure places in the galaxy and almost force tricks Jabba.
Yeah.
Like, this dude has a strong control of the Force.
Yeah.
So, hence the confidence that we see, you know?
Right.
So,
right.
But anyway, that was just my thought.
Side tangent, because yes. I'm thinking about the scenes that you're talking about. When Luke force chokes the Gamorrean guards, do you think he chokes them to death or not?
I don't. I think he subdues them. I don't think he kills them. We don't know, but...
That was always my impression, is that he, like, you know, choked them to knock them out, that sort of thing. That was always the impression I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's just because I watched a lot of Walker, Texas Ranger, and they never like choked anybody to death in that. It was always like going to knock you out sort of thing.
Yeah.
Every
time Walker went into a biker lounge, you knew there was going to be a fight.
Oh yeah.
The show was so predictable. Although I did love it when it was first on.
That was like the first like must watch weekly television at our house when I was a kid.
Of course,
was you're... Walker, Texas Ranger. So, but yes, side tangent, but yeah, I always thought that, Luke never killed them. So, although I know some people that think he did, so
yeah,
that's one of those interesting thoughts.
Yeah. No, you know, I was on a video commentary with the Sarlacc pit, probably about a month ago doing Return of the Jedi audio commentary with, you know, Matt and Chris, and Joe Hogan was on as well. And Joe said that
I listened to that and I was like, I wanted to be there.
And Joe was always like, oh, I didn't realize he force choked them. I'm like, are you kidding me? What a noob. But again, like, I mean, I think we don't know if he kills him, but I think the reason George Lucas put that's the very first thing we see Luke do in Return of the Jedi. And again, he's dressed all in black. It's meant to tell you right from the beginning that maybe Luke's going to go to the dark side.
Right.
Right. I think it's trying to build that tension up. Although I will say, again, I'm following your side tangent, although it's a little bit more of a tangent, but whatever, we're going to go with it. I never, ever thought, even as a kid, that Luke was in danger of going to the dark side.
No.
And you know, I'm kind of curious if people that, you know, first saw Jedi in 83, we got to get like Scott Rifen on for this, or Steve Glosson, or even Chris Smith or Matt Kroenke, among many other people, but those are the ones that just come to mind. and I'm curious if they really did feel that threat, right? Because I think that's what Lucas was trying to do. But, you know, just Luke, just he's always just seemed like, you know, the true blue, you know, hero all through the saga. And even when he like flips out on Vader, I knew that that wasn't going to be the last way we would see Luke act. Like, I never bought into the fact that he might go to the dark side.
I thought he might do something stupid and get himself killed, but I never thought he was going to go to the dark side.
Yeah.
But I wasn't like overly concerned about that. I was like, what's going to happen? Is he going to kill Vader? You know, that sort of thing. I was much too concerned about what he was going to do to Vader, than what was happening to Luke. So,
yeah.
But now, you know, looking at this point, I'm like, well, yeah, there's a twinge of the dark side, you know, sort of tickling the back of his brain there, but he's definitely got control of it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, anywho, we've got a new poll.
We do indeed.
So I'm excited about this one. We're continuing our lightsaber theme here. And this poll was actually suggested to me by one of our Larians, and I sort of expanded on it, and I don't remember who it was. Sorry, it was a while back. But what is your favorite Clone Wars or Rebels lightsaber duel? So basically Star Wars animated television lightsaber duel. And we can even throw in the Kenny Tartakovsky series. I don't care. But yeah, what is your favorite animated Star Wars lightsaber duel? Let's just put it that way, and that'll be much easier to say. But Carl, if people want to weigh in on this poll or send us a Larian inquiry, which we will be getting an episode of that, you know, down the road once we get some more of them, you know, how can they do that?
Oh, they can do it on Facebook, facebook.com/wampuslayerpodcast. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/wampuslayer, or send us an email at wampuslayerpodcast@gmail.com.
Excellent. And we did get a lot of responses from people saying that they would like to hear the Star Wars radio dramas at the end of the episodes here. And Carl, what are we going to do with that?
So, which I'm not surprised because they're freaking awesome. But Jason and I are probably going to get out another episode, hopefully. Well, probably two more little episodes before C7. I don't think we'll get anything. Oh, we plan to do an episode next week. The following week we'll probably be off because I'll be out of town. But we'll try to get in one more short episode about kind of like our C6 expectations. C7, excuse me. So after the Easter break and after the celebration, when we come back from celebration, we'll start putting on the radio dramas again. So they're not going to be on tonight. They won't be on next week. But, you know, when we get back from C7 and do our wrap-up on C7 show, that's when we'll start seeing them. So probably episode 126, expect to see those. Yeah.
125, 126, whichever one that becomes.
Exactly.
So we shall see what happens. But yes, any final thoughts before we wrap up this episode, Carl?
I am good to go.
I do want to throw out one more quick plug for my Talking Time Lords podcast. The Facebook and Twitter is all set up. Mike is working on a website for it. We are part of Michael Cohen's Thunderquack podcast network. But the Facebook is facebook.com/talkingtimelords, or you can follow the podcast on Twitter at @talkingtimelord, because Twitter has a character limit on the name, and Lords was just one character too many, so Time Lord. But yeah, go ahead and follow that. If you are curious about applying for the co-host position for the show, applications for that will be available until April 1st. So,
applications.
Yes. I'm
cover letters, resumes, you know how it works.
Yes, I made an application because I'm sort of trying something else new that I don't have someone directly in contact with that I want to start a podcast with. I'm like, I could start it with these people or those people. I don't know. But anyways, if you're curious about that, go ahead and follow me there. But back to Star Wars. Star Wars is awesome. The Wampa's Lair is awesome. Be sure to check out the Wampa's Lair and all the other awesome podcasts of the Star Wars Report's 2nd Airborne Division at starwarsreport.com. And so for Carl, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair. I didn't say the title again.
No, you didn't. Why don't you do that real quick, Jason?
All right, and this has been episode 123 Hokey Rituals, and Ancient Habits. So for Carl, I'm Jason, and we will see you next time here in the Wampa's Lair.
Hokey religions and ancient weapons are no match for a good blaster at your side, kid.
Keep it in. We don't edit.
You're damn right we don't edit.